Welcome to Scandalous Past. I am your host, Vid McCawson, joined by
Carice McCawson.
And we're once again having a delve into history and some of the scandalous stories that lay beneath. This week I'm going to be telling a story from the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
That goes right
through. I was not expecting the disco era.
Wait, but it comes right through into modern times.
Oh, yeah. So it was a long scandal.
This is a long scandal, this one.
Okay, and, from the 70s.
Right through to now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a long story. A lot of this is going to be setting who these people, who the players are in this, and then going into what this
scandal
is.
Okay. Who are our players?
Our voyage commences with the ascension of Billy.
Billy?
Billy. This is one of the people in the story.
Okay. Billy.
Yep.
All right.
Billy Mitchell, to be specific.
Yeah.
Billy Mitchell is a name inseparably linked with arcade gaming brilliance.
Oh my God, it's an arcade.
Listeners, I'm obsessed with arcade and retro gaming, so that's why Carice is instantly going...
Oh my God,
it's gaming. I always find a way to get my own interests in on the show.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, in the late 90s, Mitchell achieved what many believe to be the inaugural perfect score in Donkey Kong.
Okay.
Billy Mitchell is a luminary in the arcade gaming universe, celebrated widely for his extraordinary abilities and numerous triumphs.
Of playing Donkey Kong.
Born in July.
Oh my God. So we're giving him this like elite status for Donkey Kong. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Born on July 16th. Right, I'm taking expedition into the world. I've written this script that it sounds like totally a full on historical thing.
Like we've achieved greatness.
Yeah. Mitchell's expedition into the world of video games commenced
this is Pulp
at
Surprise.
An early age.
Pulp Surprise stuff here.
Stop interrupting me. I'm trying to tell my story.
Okay.
Laying the groundwork for a remarkable career, destined to etch an indelible mark on gaming history. God. Why do you keep laughing?
Nothing. Yeah. No, I'm totally in.
Mitchell attained worldwide acclaim for his groundbreaking achievements in the classic arcade games, most notably with the competitive domain of Donkey Kong.
Yeah, because that's a thing.
It is a thing.
I know. That's why I said it's a thing.
His unparalleled commitment, precision, and strategic acumen propelled him.
Yeah, it is though.
To numerous significant milestones.
Like, I've played Donkey Kong a lot, right?
Yeah.
It is a little bit, it is strategic.
It is.
I will give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't even got to Pac-Man yet.
Oh my God.
Okay. Where was I up to? Strategic acumen propelled him to numerous significant milestones, securing him a revered spot among gaming enthusiasts across the globe. One of Billy Mitchell's most remarkable feats is his record-shattering high score in Donkey Kong in 1982.
Okay.
He achieved the astonishing milestone of being the first player to surpass 1 million points in this iconic arcade game.
Okay, you're right. I am astonished.
Yeah.
Yeah. A million in Donkey Kong.
Yep.
Is that even possible?
It is possible.
And he did it in 82.
Yeah, and he stood there at the arcade machine and played it nonstop. This is all in 1/4 tour, I believe.
Oh my God. How many hours is that?
I don't have the answer to that question.
Did he shit himself?
No. But I imagine that's the first thing he did by the time he got to it is run for a shit or a piss.
Yeah, like adult nappies.
Yeah. Look, I know esports players who do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. An accomplishment that solidified his position as an authentic gaming legend. This triumph not only showcases exceptional gameplay prowess, but established a benchmark that inspired countless players to stretch their own limits. Mitchell's competitive spirit extended beyond Donkey Kong, though, as he showcased his prowess in a gamut of other classics, from Pac-Man to Centipede. His versatility as a gamer shone brightly.
I can understand Pac-Man. Right. is a little bit of the same kind of mechanics.
Yeah.
And Pac-Man. But Centipede?
Yeah.
Is a bit different.
Oh, I think Centipede's harder.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Centipede's a lot more difficult.
Yeah, and this is the early 80s, right? Yeah. All of these games which look super rudimentary are actually ridiculously difficult. Like, you go, we've got Pac-Man.
Yeah. And I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, but what's your highest level you've gotten up to before you died?
I get bored pretty quick. So my boredom kicks in before.
Consistently securing top scores and cementing his status as a multi-talented gaming virtuoso.
Yeah, okay.
Beyond his gaming achievements, Mitchell emerged as the leading figure in competitive gaming in the competitive gaming community.
Yeah, fair
actively
enough.
Participating in tournaments, events, and exhibitions worldwide. His charismatic persona and unwavering enthusiasm for gaming garnered him a devoted following and transformed him into the ambassador for arcade gaming culture. Across his journey, Billy Mitchell's contributions extended beyond the screen, playing an instrumental role in preserving and propagating the rich heritage of arcade gaming. He's ensured that the legacy of these timeless games continue on.
How?
By working to make sure that classic retro gaming is still a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but quite heavily involved.
So he's just got a lot of arcade machines.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yeah. In a warehouse.
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway. This here is where we introduce our next player in the game.
Okay.
This is Steve Wiebe.
All right.
Yep.
Wiebe.
Yeah, a figure whose narrative actually mirrors Mitchell's.
Okay.
Yeah, but weaves its own tapestry. Born on January 3rd, 1980.
Its own tapestry.
I know. I've done so well with the wording in that.
Yeah.
I literally told you.
Is this ChatGPT? Did you put it through ChatGPT?
No.
Okay.
I should have. But I did tell you that I've spent like a week writing the script where I normally throw something together in 2 days.
Yeah, it shows you've really put some effort in.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wiebe's journey paralleled that of Mitchell's in its origins with a devotion to classic video games. Amidst the backdrop of Donkey Kong, the saga of Wiebe began to unfold.
Sorry, what?
So this is where the saga unfolds.
Yeah, it's with Donkey Kong.
With Donkey Kong.
With a million points.
Yeah. As a challenger to Mitchell's dominance, Wiebe's pursuit of the Donkey Kong perfect score was characterized by an unwavering determination and relentless dedication. Countless hours have been dedicated to mastering the game, surmounting a formidable high score that Mitchell had set. He's after Mitchell's score.
Okay, right. So he's aiming to dethrone him.
Yeah, he's trying to get Mitchell's score.
Yeah.
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 Then the clash between Mitchell and Wiebe ended up happening.
What do you mean clash?
Like they ended up coming together.
Oh, having an all-out tournament.
Yeah, but this is the thing, is they don't actually. So let me continue.
Okay.
It morphs into a narrative where these two contenders propelling each other to unprecedented pinnacles. Wiebe's incredible feats of surpassing Mitchell's high score introduced an additional layer of complexity to the saga.
Why? He just beat him. How's that? That doesn't get very complicated. You just got knocked off. Oh my god. You know how it's three characters?
Yeah.
I reckon Weeby's one is just W-E-B.
W-E-B?
Yeah, Wiebe.
Oh, that would work.
Yeah, but Billy's B-L-Y.
Probably.
Bly.
Bly. What ended up happening is we end up having Wiebe basically saying, I think Billy Mitchell is full of shit.
What?
I think he has lied.
About the game?
Yeah.
About the million? Why?
Yeah, is it too good to be
true? Show us your evidence.
Yeah. Is this too good to be true? Mm. The gaming community is shaken by the allegations suggesting that Mitchell's Donkey Kong feats were attained through unsanctioned means.
Okay.
Basically, going off script here, there's ways that you can and cannot get a high score. So you can either
because if you die, you cannot get a high score, right?
No. So essentially, you either have to be witnessed in a sanctioned arcade,
where a sanctioned arcade.
A sanctioned arcade on a sanctioned machine, so it has to be an original CRT with an original board and be witnessed by somebody from this.
But this is 82. He'd got his points in 82.
Yeah, yeah, and this is like 86 or something, I believe.
Donkey Kong came out in what, the 70s?
Correct. 81? No, 1980.
Yep, okay, so it's only 2 years. So, of course it's going to be a sanctioned
board. Yeah, but the thing is...
Like, we don't have plasma back in the 80s.
But modding was happening then.
Yeah, but we don't have plasma. No. So it's always going to be on a CRT.
It's always going to be on a CRT, but board modding is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so speeding up the game, making things different, blah, 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 blah. But it has to be done in an arcade that's sanctioned by this governing body, which is called Twin Galaxies.
There's a governing body.
There's a governing body. Just to make sure people aren't cheating. And they keep the...
So they can keep the scores legit.
Yeah, keeping the scores legit.
All right.
Either that or you can submit video evidence.
What, now or then?
No, back then, people were doing
you
it
You would have had to make a flash trying a video camera
correct.
Back then.
People were making money out of playing Pac-Man.
Were they, though?
They probably were. Like, turning up at arcades and selling the rights for people to watch you do a score.
Oh, yes,
to do a score. Anyway, Twin Galaxies are doing an investigation. The investigation constitutes a pivotal juncture in the gaming world, particularly concerning Billy Mitchell's reputation. Twin Galaxies do all the tracking and validating, as I said, of all the world records, and they initiate a probe into Mitchell's high score and the achievements early in 2018. So in 2018...
So 2000, how are you going to do a retrospective investigation on a 1982 machine?
So what? The way he got his score...
Yeah.
...was initially on a VHS camcorder. The one that...
Oh,
was,
yeah.
Yeah. Videoing his arcade machine that he had at home.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, see, I know arcade machines because we've got some.
Yeah.
And I know damn well.
But on and off, over the last 10 years, we've had a few different arcade machines.
Yeah, and I know that you can slow things down.
Yeah.
Speed things up, have things not be there.
Yeah.
Increase your lives. That's the joy of having the machine at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than an arcade machine.
I have lost where I was in the script.
I am so sorry.
Right, so it ends up prompting allegations of potential rule violations against...
That's a legit... Yeah. Like, you'd be gutted if it was on set on normal.
Yeah.
But the thing's legit. Like, you're supposed to do it in an arcade.
Yeah. The investigation revolves around Billy Mitchell's scores in Donkey Kong and Pac-Man, which had been long held as... His scores had been long held as the benchmarks in gaming excellence.
Yeah.
Twin Galaxies' meticulous inquiry encompassed a review of video evidence, expert evaluations, and a comprehensive assessment of
gameplay technicalities. Oh my god, this is a full-on forensic analysis.
Yeah, it is. It gets forensic.
On gaming.
Yeah, and it's aimed to substantiate the authenticity of the records that have been held by him.
So Billy Mitchell does his in 1982... Right.
Yeah, and he consistently claims these scores as well.
Okay, and Weeby scored his in...
I think it's 86.
86, but they don't run an investigation until 2018?
No, but this is the thing. Over the years, like literally over a period of 20-odd years, or maybe
I suppose as
years,
more and more people start being able to purchase their own arcade machines, they start questioning.
But Weeby has consistently doubted Billy's scores.
Because he's in the competitive game world, right?
Yeah. Literally from the 80s right through to the 2000s, and it's not until 2018.
Yeah, I guess with so many people buying their own machines, just like us, getting our own arcade machines, and then realizing how simple it is to actually mod arcade machine, that all of a sudden you probably do start questioning, hey, this guy did it at his home.
Back then they were even doing basic mods, right? Like putting gates on the sticks so that you could only have four-way and things like that to make it so that you're not going to fuck up and miss.
Yeah, all those old machines were probably easier to mod.
Yeah.
Well, the ones you get now are still easy to mod, but probably easier.
Then you had to know how to program circuit boards, though.
Yeah, but who doesn't know how to program a circuit board?
Me?
Yeah, it doesn't take long to learn.
Yeah. Anyway, what am I up to?
Like, especially and when it comes to arcades, there's just so much information out there
yep.
that it's quite an easy thing to pick up.
Anyway, they end up citing proof of the infractions.
Okay. And what was their proof? They cite
these investigations of all the forensic analysis and
like,
that sort of thing.
We've got evidence to prove that you faked it.
Yep. And this the decision is that he has cheated. The decision ends up actually wielding a profound impact on Mitchell's standing.
Oh, 100%.
Considering he's been widely celebrated as a gaming icon and record holder for decades.
Yeah, look how you wrote about him at the beginning.
Yeah, I know, right? The aftermath of the investigation triggered widespread deliberations in the gaming world.
Mm-hmm.
While certain factions express disillusionment and disbelief, others applaud Twin Galaxies for upholding the principles of the competition and the transparency of it.
I feel like Twin Galaxies shouldn't really be praised.
Yeah.
Considering it took them to 2018, which is nearly 40 years.
Yeah.
Or just under 36 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy when you look at it like that, eh?
36 years. Even bother putting it in an investigation.
Yeah.
So now I've got some questions about Weeby.
Okay. Oh, I don't know if I can answer them.
Yeah. So how do we know Weeby's score is accurate?
So all of Weeby's scores have been done at sanctioned arcades in front of Twin Galaxies officials.
Oh, yeah. And all the kids at the arcade.
And all the kids at the arcade.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reputation of Billy Mitchell, which was founded on his high scores, ends up coming under a massive period of scrutiny and reassessment in the wake of the inquiry. The incident galvanized a broader dialogue concerning the responsibilities of record holders and the fact that we need accurate and reputable verification processes in the realm of gaming. As we reach the end of all of this, though, we ponder the lessons that have been gleaned from Billy Mitchell's situation.
I don't know if I've learned anything.
What insights can be drawn from
this is a valid question.
Yeah.
I want to know what insights can be gleaned from this. I know one, maybe not take 36 years to do a fucking investigation.
That's a big one.
So that's number one. That's my input. Number, perhaps not praise some guy when you haven't even fucking validated him.
Yeah.
That would be my second one.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you have more.
Yeah. But they decide, anyway.
What were they? What were your insights?
Oh, just that there's, when it comes to these sort of things, there needs to be things in place which you can't have a shadow of a doubt around someone's things, like accepting video footage from VHS camera or a phone camera, or even this day and age.
Oh, especially in this day and age, I don't think that's
where things can easily be faked.
Yeah, like we have deepfake now.
Yeah.
I guess in 82, though, it's a different era.
Yeah.
And so that would have 100% been valid. But I think the fact that he'd done it at home should have set off alarm bells.
Totally, you should have.
Like, we didn't like have red lockdowns. Flags.
We didn't have lockdowns. He could have gone to an arcade and done it.
Yeah. And if he couldn't replicate it in an arcade,
yeah,
then perhaps he's not as good as he thinks.
Yeah. We'll get into a bit more of a casual discussion about him shortly.
Okay.
In response to the removal of his records from Twin Galaxies leaderboards, Mitchell has pursued legal avenues to contest the decision. Lawsuits were filed against Twin Galaxies and Guinness World Records, striving to establish his records and vindicate his name. These legal endeavours have underpinned his commitment to address the controversies through formal channels. Billy Mitchell has interfaced with the gaming community and the public through interviews, declarations, public appearances, and he's all done this as a way to build up his name back again.
Yeah. But yeah, if you've spent the last 40 years building a fucking name, name for yourself in the Donkey Kong and Pac-Man world.
Yeah. He's endeavoured to supply documentation and expert insights that would attest to the legitimacy of his high scores in these games.
Nah, motherfucker. Play at an arcade.
Yeah.
That's how you validate yourself. Prove your shit.
Yeah. And essentially, Billy is still to this day trying to rebuild his reputation and get back those records that he claims to have.
The only way you're going to be able to do that is by play it live.
Yeah. This is where it's actually interesting is there's a documentary called King of Kong.
Okay. Oh!
It's available on that.
I've seen it.
And in that,
and I was like, are you serious?
Yeah. So in that, he's trying,
so I hid it so that you wouldn't find it.
He's trying to pursue his records back, and basically Weeby in this is saying, you can have your records back. Come and play the game in
an arcade
in front of me, in front of
Twin I don't think Weeby needs to be there. Nah. I think this is just Weeby being a cockface.
Yeah, totally.
Weeby can sit the fuck out.
Yeah. But there's also the argument to be made that
but in terms
at his
of
age now, could he still have the skills?
Dexterity
to be able to pull off the perfect game? Because as we get older, all of that diminishes. Like in esports today, like you peak at 21. After you're 21,
yeah,
people are retiring and becoming coaches.
I don't think... Okay, so I think a lot of it with esports mm-hmm. is they reach 21 and then they start drinking.
Yeah, there's that too.
So
there's a whole bunch of other...
I think there's a lot of factors when it comes to esports as to why they all peak out early. And also, I think it's a little bit exploitive in the fact that they only seem to like young people.
No, what it comes down to is it's medically proven that basically from 21 onwards, you're...
Medically proven.
Yeah, no,
show me your proof.
I will show you when I can be bothered. it is proven, though, like your hand-eye coordination starts to deteriorate and all those sort of things.
That arguably, you could say that people with glasses have had a disadvantage then, and
totally.
Yet they still play.
Totally. And that's not even counting the bullying we get.
Yeah, but people with glasses still play esports.
Yeah. What I want to do, though...
So do we still think it's a hand-eye coordination that starts to deteriorate at such a young age, or is it a lack of focus that comes with life?
Yeah. Now, I don't want to be a bully, but I do want to show you Billy Mitchell. And
so I'm going to go. Billy Mitchell is a skinny white guy with probably black hair, slicked, like the oil slick type thing going on. Probably wears those 80s kind of glasses that were cool back in the day.
I haven't seen... Okay, you're part way there.
Yeah, probably definitely into his leather jackets.
No.
T-shirts.
No.
Oh my god, is he a typical geek? Oh, I am right.
You are, you're very right.
Yeah, but show me him in the 80s.
He had the same look in the 80s. He has not changed his look.
He wore a suit in the 80s.
Yeah, he wore a button-up shirt and a tie and all that sort of thing. To me...
I was right, though.
But he looks like a used car salesman.
Yeah,
he does. And he has the attitude of one. Like, you need to see the interviews with this guy. He is arrogant. He is full of himself.
I don't know if you've met gamers before.
Oh, totally. But this guy... The industry I work in, right?
Yeah, so I'm not shocked or surprised.
But really.
That the guy who's got famous of playing a game has an arrogance that does not match his fame.
Yeah. I highly recommend people like look up Billy Mitchell Pac-Man interviews.
Because Weeby is also sounding like somebody who is arrogant.
So what do you think?
Who is so arrogant that he doesn't match his fame. His arrogance does not match his fame.
I will explain what Steve Weeby looks like. He looks like every retro video game collector stereotype that you've ever... People you've met.
White.
Yep.
Obviously older.
Yep.
Now, probably a bit on the heavier side.
Yep.
Did I say bald?
I can't remember if he is bald. I think he is.
Yeah. Beard. Growing one. Trying to grow one.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like someone's dad. Not my dad, because my dad's not white.
Yeah, that's on there.
No, okay, yeah, he looks like someone's dad trying to be the cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because Billy Mitchell still to this day, when he turns up to gaming conventions, he gets crowds of people that want to meet him. But the amount of people that want to meet him who don't like him, it's hilarious. It's like... Because he just has the thing of people just don't like the guy.
Yeah.
Those people you meet that you just don't like instantly.
Yeah.
That's the sort of aura he gives off. And I'm trying not to be a bully, but I'm so coming across like a bully right now.
You are. Oh, look, I get it. I totally get it. In regards to whether you can build your reputation, there is actually only one real clear way that you can build your reputation. Is actually to play it at an arcade.
Yeah, so I think it's personally sus that he...
I don't think you'd be able to... He might not be able to reach that high score that he got when he was younger.
Yeah.
But I do think he should be able to get near it.
Yeah.
enough to validate.
One thing I didn't put in there is I believe he was one of the first people to ever discover the Pac-Man kill screen.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a thing.
Yeah, it's Pac-Man doesn't have an end screen. It gets to
a certain point and just dies.
Yeah. The game just dies. It just glitches out and dies.
Wow. Yeah, there's only one real way to validate.
Yeah.
And it's playing
in
the arcades.
100% it is.
Weeby definitely doesn't need to be there. He's not important to the storyline.
Yeah.
And he's not even important to Billy's narrative. Like, I know Billy's quite arrogant, but I think it's arrogant for you to try and insert yourself into someone else's story.
But he's been the guy the entire time who's been like, no, Billy's
full of shit. Okay,
Billy's
so does not warrant you. He must have been that annoying guy, because it took 36 or 38 years or whatever for
Twin Galaxies
to even consider running an investigation.
Yeah.
That's how little pull this weepy guy has.
I imagine it was a case of, look, we're just so pissed off with you pulling this up all
the time. I actually don't think it was him. I do think it would have been other people bringing it up, as, like I said earlier, with the amount of arcades that are being brought back, is we're all coming into money and buying back our childhoods, that we're all starting to go, hey, you can actually mod this shit.
Yeah.
Mod all these. And we start buying the real old arcades. It's not just the new ones that come out.
Yeah.
All the remakes.
Yeah.
People who are really getting into the collection side of things are starting to buy the original. They want the originals.
Yeah.
And as you buy the originals, you're starting to, like, we learnt with the original arcades that we had in New Zealand.
Yeah.
How easy it was actually to modify stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
On those old boards.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a guy that I could take my board to, and he could either mod it or fix them or repair them or whatever.
Yeah, but I managed to get for that space one that I liked playing.
Space Invaders.
Yeah, that I figured out how to slow it down
so
I didn't keep dying. And so I think it would have been those types of people who followed back then, followed those guys or followed Billy, and then start questioning, hey, did he actually do this? I don't think it's got anything to do with Weeby, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's just been the Karen of the fucking gaming world.
I agree, 100%. I do agree with you. Like, he's just been the nagging, this guy's a cheat, this guy's a cheat, this guy's a cheat, this guy's a cheat.
And look, he was right.
Yeah, it turns out that possibly he was right, because, they ended up going
allegedly, he may, according to Twin Galaxies, he was right.
Yeah.
There was enough to go.
It's crazy to me, though, that they went to forensic detail to do this for a video game score from the 80s.
I don't even know how you do it, like, frame by frame.
Yeah.
Do they transfer it into 4K? They must have.
Oh, good question.
They would have.
Yeah.
Transferred it over into 4K to get better clarity.
Yeah.
Counted the speed?
I can't even imagine how you have a...
I don't even know why you want to cheat on Pac-Man, to be honest. If you can... Pac-Man is repetitive.
Fame.
Yeah, I know, but if you're good at doing the first four levels, it's not really so much then a skill, it's more about your perseverance, because it's the same map.
Yeah.
So if you can keep going for that long,
yeah,
that's impressive in itself.
Okay, so here's a complete side note, doesn't involve Billy Mitchell or Steve Weeby, but it's the high score thing.
Yeah.
So... back in the 80s, there was 80s and 90s, there was a magazine in the States called Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
And it was the official magazine of Nintendo, and they would publish every month the high score that was sent in to them with verification every single month, right? Yeah. And there was a consistent high score every single month for Tetris.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And it was one guy who was constantly making sure he had the high score, because he wanted that fame of having the high score on Tetris. That man ended up being banned from sending it in, because he just consistently blocked everybody else out from doing it.
Wow.
So he started sending them in under a different name. And they started publishing those.
Okay, but still the same guy.
Still the same guy. You want to know who that guy was?
Who?
Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of
Apple. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and still to this day when he travels with like his iPhone and his Mac and an Android phone because he uses both.
Yeah.
And an original Game Boy with Tetris.
Yeah, Tetris is a pretty good game. I get it.
Yeah.
There's another really dumb game like that. Bubbles. The bubble shooting.
Bubble.
Yeah, and the... Oh, it's like Candy Crush, Bejeweled.
Oh, Bejeweled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super addictive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Tetris is a really good game. I love that game too. I get it.
Yeah. But that's my story of me being able to bring video games and retro gaming into our podcast.
I can't believe you wrote him like he was...
I'll be honest. I was trying to write him up to look like a hero at the start.
Yeah.
And amazing. Only to try and bring it back down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did a really good job with that.
Hey, but that's us for this week. This is our scandal of the week. We do this every single week where Chris and I tell each other a story from history that's got a bit of a scandalous edge to it. Next week, Chris will be in with a story for me.
Yes, I will.
And make sure you tune in. If you like this show, make sure you rate us on whatever platform that you have listened to us on. Hit subscribe, tell your friends about it. You can also find us on social media. I am at FidMcAwesome.
Are we really going to do this for me?
And she is at The Digital Māori on everything. You can hit us up, and if you've got a story you want us to look into and tell, or if you've got any questions or feedback on the show, we love to hear about it. Chris absolutely loves to hear about it. To be honest, I wouldn't bother hitting her up on X. I would hit her up on Threads because she's on there more often.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Make sure you go there and tag her. She loves it.
Yeah. I'll be thrilled for sure.
Yeah. But that's us for this week. We'll be back next week.
All right. Thank you for that. Ka kite.